everybody. Welcome back to another episode of South Geek News. I am Donovan.
I am Ben.
I am Samuel.
All right, guys. It's been, what'd I say, a month?
August 21.
August 21st. The last one we did, Tyler was here.
Today is September 17.
It is the 17th. So we almost.
Year going. I swear, it's almost October.
It's almost Spooktober.
Yeah, Lowe's is already setting up for Christmas.
It reminds me, of a meme that I saw where I think they were talking about Walmart. The person said something like, I'm walking in, Walmart wants me to walk in, and oh God, it was hilarious, but it was like they're playing Halloween music and they want me to buy the turkey and my Christmas gifts all at the same time now. You know? Yeah.
Not wrong.
I know. I was like, you got a point. I've been meaning, I'm going to put some Halloween music on the radio station. I just hadn't done it yet because is it too early? You know, but now, you know, by this weekend, we got like one week and a half or whatever. And then bam, it's October. So,
yeah. They say that Halloween is becoming the biggest holiday.
Halloween, even though we don't trick or treat, ever since we've lived here, because we didn't have to worry about this whenever we were living in Fitzgerald out in the boonies, because nobody was driving out there. I mean, you know, unless you thought you were in Silent Hill or something. But when we got over here and us being in like a residential subdivision type thing, the very first Halloween we were here, we shut off all the lights and Lee printed out this little devil picture that says, we do not have any candy. And we put it on the front door and the back door.
Nice.
And the first couple of years, there was actually, it kind of irritated me. There were people coming out here in minivans.
Oh, yeah.
Stopping in one location and then like, you know, 25 hellions coming out of the minivan and circulating through the neighborhood. And I remember one of them walked up on the front porch, you know, had the blinds closed and everything. And as he's walking down, you could hear him going, they said they ain't got no candy.
Yeah.
I was like, but I would say easily the last decade, nobody comes out here anymore. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to worry about it. But we love Halloween. Matter of fact, last year we got us a two foot tree. All right. Decorate for Christmas. But this is our year round tree and it's got lights on it. And they're set on one of my little AC timer things I can control from my phone. And so for every holiday, like right now, it has ghosts and witches and skeletons and brooms and stuff like that. I bought an ornament, 40-something ornament pack from Amazon last week. And it cost like $20 or $25 or something like that. So all those ornaments are on that tree. And when Halloween passes, we'll take those off and then they might put some Thanksgiving-y type stuff. I don't really know what you'd put there, but. And then after that, they'll put the Christmas ornaments. And then the rest of the time, it's just whatever they feel like putting on the tree. So we have a year-round holiday tree is what we have. The lights come on at 5:30 every morning and go off at 12 o'clock every night. So we like Halloween.
Hey, that's cool. That's more doable than what Beth does.
Oh, you mean the whole the Christmas stuff?
7 Christmas trees.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
and she wants a new one every year.
Like to add?
Yes, an additional tree every year. She got a retired one from her mother. I got her one at Goodwill for $20. After Christmas one year, I got her the 12-foot big one. The tree we've had since our first Christmas.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, some random tree. I think somebody gave us a tree.
We haven't had a full-size tree since the kids were small and we were still living in a double wide in Fitzgerald. We just, you know, at the time when they were little, it was kind of like cool.
Yeah.
But as they got older, it was like, I mean, you know, we eventually stopped even buying Christmas gifts.
I wish we could do that.
Yeah. I mean, we don't, I quit buying the kids gifts. Lee and I don't buy each other gifts. I mean, technically, if she bought a gift, it'd still be me buying it. But anyway,
yeah.
You know, that's the way it works. All right. But
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, as for me, I love Halloween because it is cosplayer season. Like we yeah. get to do what we do and nobody looks at you weird for once.
That's a very good point.
There's all that. I have a mask I need to order and time has slowly creeped up on me. Oh, well, I will get that in. But anyway, despite all that, yeah, Halloween, I love. And I love Christmas, too. We decorate around here and stuff like that. Although I don't decorate my house a lot because we are on a side road. So like a bunch of people aren't going to see it. So I'm like, why bother decorating outside if no one's going to freaking see this? But like I do a little bit of Christmas in my house. Last year, Mom and my aunt did a really fun thing for me. I was like, oh, that's nice of you. And like they decorated my place. So it was just them being nice and everything.
We've got two houses across the pond from us over that direction. Mm-hmm. Direction, audio podcast, but I'm actually pointing past Ben across the road, which is also there's a pond and there's a dam. But those two houses, they go all out every year for Christmas. And so I looked at that and I went, I don't need to do anything.
Yeah, right.
If I want to look at it, I just walk outside, look across, and it's like, oh, this is great. This is spectacular.
Yeah.
I look down the road, a couple of houses decked out. Oh, that's great. I don't have to worry about it, you know?
Yeah, I'm not, I should clarify, when I said decorate the house, I did not mean the outside. We do not do crap for the outside of the house.
Yeah.
It was like internal decorating, but otherwise.
We have talked about it and talked about it, and I'm like, it just costs too dang much to buy all of the stuff and then to string it up. And then, I mean, I feel sorry for these two houses and the husbands. Not saying the wives don't do it, but I'm just saying, you know, most of the time, especially if it's something on a ladder, us men are the ones up on the ladder and hanging all that crap. And I mean, they got the stuff out in the yards, like the little reindeer with the lights mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about?
Honestly, it could just be the men.
No, it could be.
Could just be a competition. Why it's gangbusters every year.
Yeah, it could be. Well, I hope they continue because we enjoy it. So we are living vicariously through them and their Christmas decorations.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo.
All right. Well, Sam, what you been doing since last time we convened? Anything interesting that you want to do a quick discussion about?
Let me see here. I should have had this link up already. Okay, here we go. I have a thing to plug. Because I was part of a project, which has now started coming out. So amongst all my other varying branches that have showed up on this show, I am an amateur voice actor. So occasionally, if people want to grab me for their projects or stuff like that, I do that. Especially my friend Bill Meeks. He does projects from time to time. And I'm like, I am your man. Drag mm-hmm. me in and I'm willing to do it because he comes up with some hilarious scripts. So he's been coming up with a little universe. It's essentially a world set in a fictional town called Everly Heights, Ohio. It's actually based on an actual town in Ohio, just as a side little trivia bit. But he's like, I'm not going to make this crap in the actual town. this is going to be too weird for it to. So it's essentially right now we've got one season of stuff in the setup, as it were. And the first episode came out this week, actually. It's where this kid named Louis gives everyone a tour of Everly Heights. So you essentially get to learn about the town that everything's set in. I would call it a comedy show, except that occasionally the comedy stops and it suddenly becomes dramatic, you know? So it's one of those shows where we're going to make you laugh, but we're also going to punch you right in the gut when you least expect it. It's that sort of thing.
Is he releasing it as a podcast?
Yes, it is. I will give you the link so you can put it in the show notes. But you can find it out at everlyheights.tv/everlyheightstales is what it's being called right now. So it's set up in this universe. But yeah, and this kid, Louis, you know, for being a third rate YouTuber, I think he's got a lot of a future. Hint, hint, you probably figured out who Louis is.
I wonder who.
Yeah, but yeah, I had fun doing that. And also, I'll tease another episode. The reason why I won't call it just comedy is that we also have an episode in the future of Louis's dad, Steve, who was a nerd just like he was, having a very serious conversation with his high school bully. And it's a very dramatic episode. This also had jokes in it because we can't help ourselves. But still, it's so there are a lot of, this is an interesting universe that kind of leans into all sorts of archetypes. Like Everly Heights is a weird town and you figure it out as you go along, essentially. So, you know. Just so, yeah, Everly Heights. I figured I would give that a plug. Plus, for those of you that were paying attention, there was a project that he did called Very Special, which has now morphed and turned into one of the episodes of this as well. So we kind of pivoted on that one and stuff. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Cool. Yeah, you play Louis Loop and Steve Loop, aka Steve the Geek.
Yep.
Yeah, I went to it. Yeah, I'll have to give a listen to that. That kind of stuff always interests me because I think it's fun. I've been wanting to actually write screenplays for like a podcast series, but trying to get the voice talent I knew was always going to be difficult and expensive. Of course, now, and Sam's going to probably rake my ass over the coals for what I'm about to say, I can do every bit of it with AI.
I hate you.
But can you capture the characters?
Yeah, because I voice the characters and I use voice changing to do it. So I do, it captures my inflections and everything like that.
I am more good with that than I am the whole concept of just flat out
text to speech.
Whole cloth making an AI voice, like a lot of those things. Like, okay, one of the people that I worked with on the Very Special one. I'm going to tell you this horror story, which is why I'm very vehement about that particular thing. This guy did a commercial for someone.
Oh, you told us about that one. And then his voice wound up.
His voice shows up again. He's like, I didn't record that.
Yeah.
They stole his voice.
Yeah. Did he ever pursue that?
I can't remember how that went. I didn't get to talk to him again after he had told that story. Right.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things. I haven't had a recording with him since, but
I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I would prefer to use actual, you know, flesh and blood voice actors, but for something,
you don't have the nerdy little networks that I'm in that get you those things because that helps.
No. And if I was going to do some small 3 to 6 episode thing, I would do it as a test bed just to see how well I could get it to turn out.
Yeah.
And then, and you know, voicing all the characters, however many they are, using 11 laps or whatever to change the voices to what I need them to be. And then if it became something that I wanted to do further on down the line, then I might would start networking with, say, like Sam and maybe some of his folks or what have you.
I was about to say, you kind of have someone in your contacts now that I think about it that could put some feelers out.
Yeah. Yeah. So. But I'm also cheap. So.
Yeah,
I can't pay.
Oh yeah, there are people that will do projects like that, and just as long as you tell them, like,
for the accreditation,
hey, we're not paying for this. They're still like, I love doing this crap. You kidding me? Yeah,
yeah. So. See, I'd be like that. I'd be like, I don't need to be paid. Just let me do this because it's fun.
It sounds like fun. Yeah.
It sounds like fun.
I've only been paid once because one time Bill got a sponsor. That's the only time I've been paid. Otherwise, I just do it for free. I got to play a version of the doctor at some point in all this. So yes, I totally.
Oh, that's right up your alley, man. Oh, speaking of the doctor. So not to give much away, but I know it's going to be years before Sam actually probably watches it. I don't know about you, but so Star Trek Strange New Worlds. They just wrapped up season 3.
Oh, I know what you're getting ready to tell me about. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so the engineer is Carol Kane, the actress, plays the engineer. And she, Paleia, I think is her name. And she is a race that lives like for a very, very, very long time. I think she's like 5,000 years old or something like that. But anyway, they were about to do some funky stuff. I can't remember if it was the last episode or if it was the next to the last episode, but she makes a comment about traveling. She makes the comment about traveling with a doctor through time and space. And then she stops herself and says, but that's a story for another time. And immediately everybody, all the fandom went, we know exactly what she's talking about.
Also that scene, because here's what I thought you were going to tell me about, that scene where they were dealing with that entity that eats ships.
Oh, yeah.
There's a TARDIS hidden in that.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah. Yeah. So there've been two references to Doctor Who in season 3, Strange New World.
Yeah, right. And that one I got to find out. I was delighted. And then I believe it was one of your Screen Rant guys. I'm sorry to put it that way.
Yeah.
That used it as an opportunity to say, what slop Doctor Who is? And it doesn't need to touch Star Trek anymore. It's like, F off. Like, if you want to write an article about Doctor Who not being good, just write an article about Doctor Who not being good for you. Don't use this as an excuse.
Yeah, I was trying to find, let's see, Radio Times, maybe. Except all. See, Star Trek Strange New World sneaks Doctor Who Easter egg into season 3 finale. Yeah. Let's see. Just a few weeks after the writers decided to mess with Doctor Who fans by adding the TARDIS into a blink and you'll miss it moment, the Star Trek spinoff has once again referenced our favorite Time Lord. In a preview of the upcoming final episode shared by TV Insider, Captain Kirk. Oh, come on, guys. That's not Anson Mount. That's Captain Pike. Admits it's been challenging few months for the Enterprise. Scoffing at his description, Carol Kane's Peleia responds, challenging, smallaging. Remind me to tell you about the time I spent with the time-traveling doctor I once knew.
That fits.
Peleia is a lanthanite who's lived for thousands of years, often references incredible adventures from throughout her life. So it's no surprise to hear she's encountered the doctor at some point. Yeah, there was one because I know this is not tech, but it is geeky stuff. And Ben's eyes are glazing over, but
nerds.
Yeah. But her quarters can't be scanned. Of course, she's the engineer, but her quarters cannot be scanned with the rest of the Enterprise. And it is just a plethora of archaeological finds for everybody. There, when they could not communicate aboard the ship, she was like, I have an idea. And so they go in and she starts pulling out old telephones. And they're looking at this going, what is this? So they string up wires all down the corridors and connect all the phones all the way up to the bridge so they could have communications.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's hilarious. All right. Well, I'll definitely put the Everly Height stuff in the show notes so everybody can go check it out. I'll check out that first episode when I get a chance. Ben?
Pushing tens of terabytes of archive data to the cloud.
Mm.
You know, dropping the bucket.
Oh, jeez.
I know, right?
At last count, which was first of the month, at these two clients that I'm doing this for, their backups and archive together, it's just a little over 50 terabytes, but we've just begun.
Wow. Okay. I know cloud storage is cheaper now than it's ever been, but Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to pay for it.
That's what I do for a living.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm not going to make a part of a living off of it. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
So
I understand. Yeah.
There's an incentive for me, but, more so is the we don't have to buy external hard drives mm-hmm. every year
mm-hmm.
and put them on two copies. So we have two cold copies and then put all them right. somewhere that I don't even know where they are now.
Yeah, that sounds like.
So when they want something that's on one of those drives, I got to find yeah. the drive or figure out which one mm-hmm. it's on. Find the drive.
Well, at least in the cloud, though, you can find the stuff.
They have immediate access to it. Yeah.
Now, are you putting it in some type of cold storage or because see that like Amazon has Glacier.
Now, this is just Wasabi.
This is just regular.
Storage, yeah.
Okay. Hot storage. Yeah. The thing about stuff like Glacier is it's real cheap to push it there and store it.
Mm-hmm.
It's expensive to pull it back. The egress is horrible.
Yeah.
Because they don't expect you to pull it down. It's like, set it and forget it. You know,
yeah.
10 years from now, I have to wonder sometimes when you're pushing up like 50 terabytes, you know, is there somebody at a dashboard that's going, what is this motherfucker pushing up here?
You know, I bet it's not an anomaly for them.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. If you've never watched a video, I watched a Network Chuck video the other day. I think I shared it with y'all. Where he went into the Equinox data center in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Man, just that is, I want to go. And the security there is just, it is hard, man.
Yeah.
It is, you know, they, even the staff, like the one guy that was showing them around and he's pretty high up, the cages, the racks are in cages and some of them are see-through cages. Some of them are occluded. You can't see in.
Mm-hmm.
And even he doesn't have access to the cages. Only the customer has access to the cages.
Yeah. I've heard of that. There's a company called QTS. And one of their data centers is in Atlanta. And my employer at the time was looking to move and do basically a colo.
Mm-hmm.
I never got to go, but I heard that it's a huge building
mm-hmm.
with armed security. There's like a Humvee roving around. But you go in and you are escorted to your pod, I guess. It's like a shipping container that you rent. They escort you to there. And I think there's a man trap to get inside that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to come out, somebody's going to come out and escort you out.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you have zero access to inside any other pod. Because like Google was in there, HP, you know, big names.
Right.
So it's encapsulation within encapsulation.
Yeah, like with Network Chuck's video, I mean, he couldn't say anybody that was in there. You couldn't tell any names.
Yeah.
And except there was one company and they got approval to talk about them because while they were standing there, you know, you're thinking, or at least I was, you know, we're going to go in with a couple of servers and we're going to rack them. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. This company was bringing in racks of equipment already racked on wheels, pulling it in with their logo and everything on it. And so he said, yeah, we asked them if it was okay that we leave this in the video. And they said, yeah, that's fine. We don't care. I forget the name of the company, but it was like just two huge, like full-size racks. Fully loaded down with equipment, rolling them in to get into their cages and hook it all up.
it's
amazing. And they've gotten to the point now where the technology used to, as they pointed out, it's like, okay, so in this building, because this is probably just like 55 and 56 Marietta up in North Georgia,
mm-hmm.
which is, we knew that, we always knew about them because that's where, our backbone provider was located up in there. And so, where was I going with that? Man, that thought just went
straight. You didn't tell us before you began.
Where was I going? Oh, providers. So all the various providers are in there, you know, your AT&Ts, your Comcast, all your big backbone providers and
level
what have
three
you.
And whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so normally you'd have to put in an order and say, okay, I need a gigabit connection through AT&T. And they would literally have to go from where the AT&T DMARC was, basically, run a fiber over to where your equipment was. So it could take months before you actually got the circuit. Now they're using software defined networking.
Yeah.
So they can just, you can just go online and say, I need a 1 gigabit connection to AT&T. And it's like seconds.
Yeah.
And the stuff's working. And I was like, I'm not worthy. I am not worthy. I think I know some stuff. And then I see videos like this and I'm like, I'm crawling, dude. I'm not walking. I'm not running. I'm crawling. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
We're over the hill.
Yeah.
We're headed down.
Well, what I had been doing is working on
hosting a LAN party with yourself.
Yeah, hosting a LAN party with myself. So, you know, we're going through this whole Windows 10 to Windows 11 upgrade. I call it a fiasco because it's created arbitrarily by Microsoft. And so one of my clients has agreed, you know, we're replacing 13 of their machines. And so I have been coming out here early in the morning, making an image of, you know, machine at a time. And then I have a VPN that I established to them. And then I download it here. And then I go through this process that Tyler basically created using some libraries. And I showed you what it looks like.
Yeah.
You know, I basically create an install image. And so that way I can just boot up on these new machines and I can select which image I want to put on that machine. And everything's been working great. It's just taking time. So I deployed the first two machines. The very first machine I did this was for one of the owners, it's a dentist office. I'll just leave it at that. But so one of the dentists in his office. So no big deal.
Okay.
I didn't have to worry about drivers for the X-ray ones or the optical cameras or anything like that. But I did notice on his, I had run into this problem. So they use this particular software package and it is a client server scenario. And when I went to run it, it couldn't find the server. And it pops up this message. It says, hey, we can't find the server. And it even has the server name in. So you can put the IP address in. You're like, okay, surely if I give you the IP address, you can connect, right? No. So normally I can do what they call a repair install, which is if you run the actual setup file and it detects that the software is already installed, it'll come up and say, hey, do you want to modify or do you want to repair? So I choose repair. That 99% of the time, 98% of the time, that fixes whatever the problem is. Not this time. I had to go through and actually uninstall the software completely, reboot, reinstall the software, reboot again, and then it worked. So I was like, okay, maybe this is a fluke. So this past Saturday, I get to their office about 9-ish. My goal was to put 4 of these in what they call their operatories. And I put the first one in and I ran into the same problem. And I'm like, I can't understand what's happening here. And I tried to repair, didn't fix it. I did all kinds of online lookups, ChatGPT. Let me tell you, ChatGPT and I did not have a very good relationship that day because it kept sending me down rabbit holes. It kept telling me where keys were in the registry and I'm like, they're not there. And then it would come back and it says, you know, you're probably right. They changed from this version to this version. I'm like, every damn thing you're telling me doesn't exist. Okay?
Yeah.
Stop it.
It happens a lot.
Yeah. So
the gas wafted over into ChatGPT. So
apparently. Apparently. So I was like, okay. So I wound up I ran into two problems, actually. I'll talk about the other one in a minute because you may or may not run into it because it's a change they made on signed SMB connections in Windows 11.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I uninstalled, rebooted, reinstalled. It found the server. Now, here's the aggravating part. All the drivers and everything are still there for the X-ray and the camera. The X-ray has to have, luckily I have this because years ago, whenever I called support and said, we had to uninstall and reinstall, but now we can't see the Schick X-ray wand in there. And I mean, they were very helpful. It's like, that's because there's a registry edit you have to put in that links them. I was like, aha. So as soon as we did that, I exported that key. So I have that on the NAS. And so I ran that and I went in and looked at the X-ray settings because before I ran it, it did not show up. So I went in and I looked at the X-ray settings. I went to another one and compared. So I got the x-ray settings correct. And then I was like, well, the camera software's still on here. And this morning, matter of fact, I got called. It would take the picture, but it wouldn't save it. And then I went in the settings and I was like, well, it's not set for the right thing. And of course, that fixed the problem. Okay. So where I figured I was going to get four of those things installed, I got two of them in 3.5 hours dealing with this crap. And now I know what I'm doing. And this Saturday should go a bit smoother. But I'm trying not to do so many at a time because I don't want them to run into a problem with multiple machines at the same time. And then
find out you got
to
change something everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, everywhere. So the other thing that I ran into is I was trying to connect to my IT folder on the NAS on the new machines, and I couldn't. And I was like, and it would, I know you've seen this. You try to connect to a network share and it pops up a window and it says, we can't connect to this, diagnose, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
contact your system administrator.
Yeah. And I'm like, wait, that's me. So I was like, what is this thing doing? And so I looked it up. And there was one suggestion that you go into the group policy and you go up under the administrative template, go to networking and go to LANMAN workstation, and you tell it to enable guests not requiring signed connections. Well, that was just a workaround for the actual real problem. And the real problem was I had guest access enabled on the NAS because not every machine needed to have a one-to-one user account.
Yeah.
The changes from 10 to 11 require, unless you go in and do a registry change, require signed SMB connections in SMB 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have an actual account with the same username and password on the end device that you're trying to connect to, you'll get that error because it's trying to fall back on guest access, and guests by default is not allowed because it can't be signed.
Right.
So anyway, that's one of those things that I have now resolved by creating the one-to-one account on the NAS for every one of these machines that I've been doing. So I won't run into that problem. So anyway, yeah, that's what I've been doing for like the last 2 weeks. Actually, since I got these things in. So fun times, man. Fun times. It's a life we lead. It's a glorious life. Okay. Where did my tab go?
I still wish the thin clients were more affordable.
Yeah. I've played around with some setups like that. Using WTR something or another, I can't remember. And I booted up off of a thumb drive and had it automatically just remote into a VM. So it's just like it's running, but
yeah.
the licensing cost and then all the parameters that you have to change based on. And it's like, well, it still requires a PC of some sort. So, and now that we're getting these PCs as cheap as they are,
yeah,
it's not worth it.
No, I was looking at a Lenovo thin client and it was like $299.
Yeah.
It just defeats the,
yeah,
you know, you pay double that to get a okay machine and it's, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, it's got its own CPU, it's got its own drive, it's got its own memory, you know, it's got the horsepower.
Yeah.
You know, so otherwise you got to offset all those resources onto the server side. So depending on how many of these things you're trying to fire up, you got to have a beefy ass server.
Yeah. I mean, put $15,000 in a server or you could just buy 6 desktops. I mean,
yeah, which will not cost you $15,000.
No. So it just seems like a thing that would scale and be economical, mm-hmm. but not at this smaller scale.
I mean, even Microsoft's, what do they call that? It's not remote desktop. It's their other stuff. I've looked at it.
Is it Windows Virtual Desktop thing?
Yeah. The VDI stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
of course, they're pushing all those VMs should be running in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not tried, but I've not found something there where you can ship a thin client and they can hook it up, push the power button, log in, and they're at their machine. That's what I want.
Yeah.
It's a zero touch kind of thing, but
yeah.
I've not seen where that's remotely possible.
Yeah, me either.
It's 2025. It should be.
I agree.
But I mean, I could even take, I'd like to take their existing hardware, which is 5 years old.
Yeah.
But it's working fine. We've had one warranty service on one of, 40 machines across these two clients.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be nice if I could just take their existing hardware and turn them into thin clients and run VMs either locally or in the cloud, depending on where the data is, and just do that. I don't have to buy hardware. I can just repurpose this hardware that's not compatible with Windows 11 and just
and have it connect to a
client to Windows 11.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I mean, these machines that I'm retiring, I've got two of them that I just reloaded that two of the machines I replaced for the dentist office. I've got them back here in my office. I reloaded them today with just Windows 10 22H2. They're i5 4570 processors.
Mm-hmm.
You throw one of them's got an SSD, one of them's got a mechanical drive. The mechanical drive one, of course, is a little slower, but the SSD, you throw SSDs in these damn things, they're still good machines.
Yeah.
So if you could just say, okay, well, you're not running it here. You're going to be running it in the cloud, or you're going to be running it on a server that we've got up in the server room. We're going to spend a few, whatever. I don't know. It's just, and as Tyler will go, yep. And it's more damn e-waste because I don't know what they're going to do with these machines. I'm like, the last batch that we retired, we reloaded wiped them and reloaded, and he gave them to a church or something. And I'm like, okay, that's great.
Yeah,
go for it. They won't get security updates ever again. So go ahead and sprinkle some holy water on it and say a prayer and maybe don't connect it to the internet. You know,
if it's going to a church, it probably won't.
Yeah, that's anyway. True. That's true. Or maybe, a friend of mine for a while was running a little training, not business. It was like a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was trying to get women that had been down on their luck, maybe they'd been in prison or whatever, and now they were trying to, learn skills so they could get better jobs. You know, he was getting hand-me-downs for that because they couldn't afford to buy new stuff.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And for what he was doing, basic keyboarding, basic internet, learning to do word processing and email and stuff like that. That's perfectly fine. So
you could do that with Linux.
You can. I almost reloaded those with some form of Ubuntu, Debian or something. But I was like, I'll probably have to reload them if I did it.
I think the Goodwill in Tallahassee will accept computers.
Mm-hmm.
So you just wipe them, load up Fedora workstation or something.
Yeah.
And just donate them.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it for them. They've got 13 of them they're going to be doing something with. So anyway, speaking of 2025. Apple had a little event week before last.
Really? Yeah. What happened?
They introduced some new products. You want to know what they are?
Is it a $3,500 device I wear on my head?
No, it is not. No. They actually introduced two new devices. You've got your AirPods Pro 3, which I'm debating on whether or not to get them because I think they might fit in my ears better. Because of the way they're designed versus the AirPods 4 that I currently have.
Is it true that they have a live translation?
Yes.
So it actually is a thing?
Yeah.
It's not just a,
and
we'll push this in the future.
No. You have to download the language that you want it to translate to and from or whatever onto the phone.
Hmm.
But yeah, once you do that, it'll do live translation.
And how much are they?
$249.
Oh, it's totally worth it.
Yeah.
I was getting ready to say also, if you already own the fours, they are getting that upgrade too. And you don't have to have the
Pros. Do I have to have the right iPhone?
I think it's built into iOS 26. So I don't think you have to have the 17. I don't think you do. Don't quote me on that. But I believe it's going to be backward compatible because I think you have to have iOS 26 for it to actually work.
Yeah, that makes sense. But
yeah,
as long as I don't have to get a new phone. Make my AirPods work.
I don't think so. Do you have what model of AirPods do you have?
I just have the first Pros.
Okay. I don't think it's backwards compatible to those. Matter of fact, I don't think the twos will support it. they redesigned the threes. They're supposedly, they sound better. And they added, instead of, I think, four of the little ear silicon things, mm-hmm. I forget what you call them, they've added a smaller one now for smaller ear canals. And that's the problem I have with the with my AirPods 4, is they're that standard design that they'll fall out of my ears if I'm not careful. And matter of fact, MKBHD did a little video on the new Pro 3s, and he's actually admitted these are one of the first ear pod type that will actually stay in his ear. He prefers one made by, I think it's Bose or it's Beats. I can't remember, but anyway, they go in the ear, but they got the little piece that wraps around the ear.
My Bose have that.
Yeah. And
they're pretty comfortable.
Yeah. He uses those for workouts because they don't fall out of his ears. But otherwise, they released iPhone 17, 17 Pro, 17 Pro Max, and
the iPhone Air.
The iPhone Air, what? which is not a 17.
Yeah, that's right. It's just the Air.
Mm-hmm. Which I heard somebody say, so that means the next version is probably going to be the iPhone Air 2.
Two. Yeah.
So there's an article here from 9to5 Mac. Apple analyst Ming-Chi Kuo reports that demand for the iPhone 17 lineup is stronger than last year's iPhone 16, with pre-orders showing significant momentum. The standout performer is the 17 Pro Max, whose production volume in Q3 is around 60% higher year over year compared to the 16 Pro Max. Yet shipping times remain steady, suggesting exceptionally strong demand. Now, I've set mine up like I'm going to order it. I am looking at an iPhone 17 Pro Max because I want the 6.9. Yours is a Max, right?
Yeah, it's a 15 Max. So the 17 Max is 0.2 of an inch larger.
So that one's what, 6.7? 6.7? Mm-hmm. This was 6.0. Okay. So I want the 6.9 display because I'm old and can't see shit.
Mm-hmm.
Going with the deep blue, going with the standard 256 because I never fill up an iPhone. As many photos I take and all, I never fill it up. You can get up to 2 terabyte now if you want to spend $2,000 for the phone.
That's just money.
I'm going to trade in my 16 Pro, which they're... So they'll give me $580 for. I'm going to have to buy it outright because they started that asinine thing a couple of years ago that if you want to finance it on your Apple Card, then you have to connect it to a carrier. Visible is not on the list. I'm already there, so I'm like, well, to hell with y'all. So anyway, the reason why I do that is because if I order it today, my shipping will be, I'll get it anywhere between October 9th and the 16th.
So it's a popular thing.
It is a very popular thing. Whereas, as the article points out, it says overall production for the iPhone 17 series Pro Max Pro and standard models about 25% higher than the iPhone 16 lineup, while shipping delays only slipped by about a week, reinforcing the impression of robust pre-orders. By contrast, the new iPhone Air remains readily available for day one delivery. Quo notes that could mean Apple overestimated demand as it reportedly produced 3 times as many units as last year's 16 Plus. Still, since the Air is a new product category, its long-term appeal may not be clear until after the initial sales period. 9to5 Mac adds that the Pro Max's popularity makes sense given its appeal to content creators and upgraders, while the iPhone Air may still carve out a niche, potentially drawing buyers who might otherwise have opted for a Pro model. Now, that actually does not surprise me, because I don't know what y'all think about the Air. You can express your opinions, but I don't like it. And it's not for the reason that a lot of people don't like it. A lot of people are like, and all the memes that I've seen online, that camera bump.
Yeah.
That's not the reason why I don't like it.
It's a very Apple fan reason not to like it. I've had enough Apple fans around my life to know.
It's too thin. Yeah. It's too damn thin. I don't need a phone that freaking thin.
Yeah. I'm okay with something thicker than what I've got.
Yeah.
If they make it even 3 millimeters thicker, put a bigger battery in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause if you get the Air, let me pre-order here. We're doing it live. All right. So I'm just going to go with Space Black 256. I'm not going to do a trade-in. I don't care. I just want to see when you're going to be able to get it to me. I'll buy it. connect to a carrier later. Hey, I can have it Monday. I can have it Monday if I wanted the Air. But granted, it's got a slightly larger screen than even my Pro, because my Pro is a 6.3, I believe. This is a 6.5.
Yeah, I noticed that was a little bit bigger, but it seemed like it's just taller.
It may be a little taller. Still, it's titanium where they've switched everything else back over to aluminum, an aluminum unibody, which I'm fine with, and I understand the reasons for it. I was trying to see if it'd show me how. Let's see, it's got the 48 megapixel fusion camera system because it's got the one camera, but that's not just one camera. There's multiple cameras in that one camera.
Okay, boss.
Yeah, but it's, what is it, like 5-point-something millimeters? I forget, but it looks ridiculous because of that camera bump. Because of the fact, I mean, we do have the camera bump on our existing phones, but when your overall phone is so thin, it looks like, you know, it's a very thin woman with a heavy rack.
With one breast,
yeah. You know? So... Sam's over there going, why did I agree to be on the show? Anyway, so...
I mean, I don't know who it's for.
I really don't.
Because well, it starts you at, say that. What, $7.99?
$9.99.
It says from $9.99?
Yeah, $256 starts off at $9.99. I didn't do anything else special, so it's $999 according to this.
Yeah, so that's like two Mac Minis.
The iPhone 17... is $7.99, I believe.
Still, that's base price for a new iPhone. That just feels a bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about a thin phone and going, who wants this? Now, mind you, this was several years ago. It awakened a memory at a con for me. In fact, the album art for Going Through Who, if anyone looks at that, this is how this picture got taken. The picture of me and mom standing inside of a TARDIS. This was back before I had an iPhone and I still had my iPod Touch that I would use for things. I handed it to a girl at a con to take the picture of me and mom. And she said, this is so thin. She thought it was a phone. And she was happy about the thing. Well, what is this? You know, so she wanted a thin. There was a thirst for a thin phone. And then as soon as I told her, oh, no, it's an iPod Touch, she looked violently disappointed that she could not get a thin phone. So people exist. Like, I don't know if that has changed over time, obviously. I'm talking about just something that happened back a couple of years ago. But, you know, there's still people that'll probably want something like that. The second I looked at this phone, though, I went, my little cousin would snap that, and she's not so little anymore, but I still call her little. Yeah. My little cousin would snap that in half in 5 seconds because she has a reputation for smashing phone screens. It never lasts too long.
Well, let's don't forget Ben Gate. Was that the iPhone 6? I can't remember if that was the 6 or the 7. But anyway.
That's right. Yeah. It seems like it was about to... About 6.
Yeah, they had an issue where it was bending because people were putting it in their pocket. And I mean, before I got these pants that have the side pocket, and whenever I wear jeans, I do put it in my left back pocket. I don't sit on it, though.
Yeah.
I'm smart enough to pull the damn thing out.
I have developed the habit when I get in the car or sit down somewhere, if it's in my back pocket, I'll take it out.
Yeah, it's like I've got this automated, like, just swoop, sit, you know, so.
Yeah, and I'm one of the abashed side bag wearers, so I don't care how big it is. It's got a phone pocket.
Yeah.
Slide it in and don't have to deal with this.
Well, we wear TrueWorks pants, and they have a side pocket on the right leg that actually these phones, let me see.
My TrueWorks pants have that pocket on both legs.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the one on the left for me is a Velcroed pocket, not to put the phone in.
Whatever style I got, but, it's the same little slide pocket.
Your phone will fit. So a 6.9 I shouldn't have. Because I told my daughter I wanted to go to the Pro Max, and she's like, will it fit in that pocket? I said, think so.
Yeah.
So if it's only 2/10 larger than that one, then it shouldn't be an issue. So the question is, now... That's a 15 for you. What do you have, Sam?
I've got a 15 Pro.
So neither
not
one of
Max, just Pro.
Just a Pro. Okay, so you got a Pro. Ben's got a Pro Max. Mm-hmm. Neither one of you are interested in going to the 17.
I went from a iPhone 6 Plus to this. So I probably won't need a new phone till iPhone 22.
I bet you
when
it's
they're
the
transparent
same.
And shit.
Yeah, I bet you it's the same reason, Ben. Let's see if me and you are in the same sync. I don't upgrade until they won't give me a software update anymore.
Yeah,
that's
just
what
before
makes me update
just
every
before
time.
it goes end of life.
I understand your reasonings, but here's the reason why I plan on upgrading to the 17 Pro Max. Two reasons. One, I'm on a Pro. I want the bigger screen, so I'm going to a Pro Max. Two, at some point, your phones aren't worth anything to trade in. Now, that may not be a big thing for you guys, but I offset costs by trading my phones in because I don't keep them. I would like to be able to keep them, but I can't come out of pocket $1,000 for a phone. It's already going to be tough enough to do 600, but 600 is better than 1,000. So that's the reason why I'm looking at it, because if I waited to say like the 18, now instead of getting a $580 credit, I'll probably get like a $380 credit. And there's a possibility, though I've always been really good so far, knock on wood, I've never damaged my phone.
Yeah.
I'm very aware of where my phone is at all times.
Because we're the type to realize it's a computer.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The number of people I see that have broken screens and just continue to use the phone, I'm like, how did you do that? And it's some of the most asinine reasons of how it happened. And I'm like, didn't you realize your phone was in your bag before you threw it across the room or you sat on it or your 200-pound dog ate it? I mean, what don't you know what this thing is? You know, this is not a cheap piece of hardware.
I'm telling you, we're a different breed.
We got to be. We got to be. I mean, Sam's right there with us. I mean, he takes care of his stuff. I know. So, but yeah, that's the reason why I'm looking at it. Okay, the cameras are great. And one of the things I really, really like is that front-facing camera where they're using. I agree with somebody that said they shouldn't have called it center stage because they already have a thing called center stage. But the fact that they did something I'd never thought of, and even Linus Tech Tips, he was like, a couple of years ago, I came up with this idea of a square sensor on the front camera. Mm-hmm. Because with the square sensor, it allows you, you don't have to take the phone. If you want to do a vertical or if you want to do a horizontal, you don't have to change orientation of the phone.
Yeah, you just snap the picture and you can make it a horizontal.
Yeah. It's smart enough that if you're doing a picture of yourself and then another person steps in frame, it pulls back. That's the center stage part and makes it a horizontal picture automatically.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool, actually.
That to me is a feature I like. And especially for content creators that like to shoot videos on their phones, the back cameras have always been better to shoot video. Now, the front-facing cameras are good enough that, they'll do 4K. You don't have to worry about it. So,
you know. I guess that's a thing.
You know, doing the, what is it that Apple does? Not ProRes. Yeah, ProRes. They're doing the ProRes RAW. That doesn't mean anything to me. You know, I'm not shooting. I don't even shoot in ProRes because you need an external drive. Otherwise, you're going to run out of space.
Yeah.
Now, my Samsung T7, it works. I've hooked it into this and recorded to it. But I'm not that much of a video editor, creator and all, to where I need to do ProRes and then do LUTs and all that stuff in DaVinci. You know, I'm fine with just shooting it standard and then doing what I do in DaVinci. You do have to, I have learned that you have to do some things in DaVinci because the iPhone video does come in a little washed out, so you have to do some things in the Fusion panel and all this other kind of stuff. You know anything about DaVinci, but otherwise, you know, none of those other pro creator stuff. That's not a selling point for me. Okay, great, it's there. If I ever decide I'm gonna learn how to do this, you know, this is my second career, but those are the reasons why I'm looking at upgrading, is the fact that I want to get the maximum amount of trade-in I can on this phone to offset the cost of going up to a bigger phone. Not just a newer model, but an actual bigger phone.
Yeah. And I get that. And that's why I splurged a bit to get the max, because I, you know.
And you can't see either.
Yeah. I still have to use my glasses to use this.
Yeah. I will say one thing. Have you gone to iOS 26?
Yeah.
Have you noticed how much bigger some of the fonts are automatically in this?
Yeah, it seems a bit more visibly useful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the beta program, so I've had the 26
okay.
thing for
I had it on the iPad a few here, months now. But I refuse to put it on my phone because I use it too much.
Yeah, I'm a cowboy. They're not going to break simple stuff.
One would hope.
Yeah.
I turned on the call screening, which, I mean, let's be honest, that's something that Google phones have had, especially on the Pixels. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things I missed when I left my Pixel 2 and went to an iPhone SE, I think, is what I went to at the time, was the fact that I used the hell out of that call screening. But now they've got that. So.
That's what tech companies do anyway. They just thieve features off of each other all the dang time. I was hearing a Android person and an iPhone person argue in a Discord call the other day, and I just sat back silently and listened to how silly both of them sounded as they were like, well, they stole that feature off of us. And I was just sitting there going, because all tech companies do that, you silly tribalists. Like...
No, I
to
agree.
To quote the great Andrew Heaton, tribalism is dumb.
Hey, I agree. I mean, as much of an Apple fanboy as I am, I do really like their products. I roll my eyes whenever they're like, you know, we've never done this before on an iPhone, or it's never been done this way. And I'm looking at it along with everybody else going, Android had that 10 years ago. You know, get off this shit, guys. Come on.
Mm.
You know, it's great that you have it in iOS now, but don't act like you just invented the holy grail or something of operating systems for phones. You're behind
Steve
the curve.
Taught him how to do that.
I know.
That is his thing.
It's his thing. I get it. I do like the fact they went back to, because I really didn't care about the difference between titanium and aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
They went to the aluminum unibody because they had to put a vapor chamber in the Pro and Pro Max because the A19 Pro chip runs so damn hot. So we'll see how well that works. But I don't know. I'm going to wait. I mean, I'm still planning on upgrading, but I'm not doing it now. I'm going to wait probably until November, maybe 1st of December. Give myself a Christmas present.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. But
fair enough.
I'm not looking forward to, even though I'm moving from an iPhone to an iPhone, it is still not simple.
It's a process.
It is a process. Especially when you have an Apple Watch, because whenever I moved from my 13 to this one, the watch didn't just automatically go with it. I had to do some funky stuff with it. I remember sitting there at the counter doing that. And then when I upgraded my watch, I went from an SE to this, I think I got a 9, and it took a little bit to actually get it to connect, disconnect the other one, get this one to connect. So it's not painless, but it's not as bad as going from like iPhone to Android or Android to iPhone. So I have to make sure that I got an entire Saturday marked out so that I can move it, you know, make sure everything gets moved over the way it's supposed to. So, all right. So both of y'all are like iPhone 20 or 22, whenever that finally.
17, probably. I can take it or leave it.
Yeah. Well, by then, either next year or the year after, they're going to have their first folding phone. Are y'all interested in the folding phones? Me either. What about you, Sam?
No, but it's not me going, screw that or anything like that. It's just, I find the technology fascinating. I don't think I'd have a use case for it, if that makes sense. Like, I just, the way I use my phone and everything like that, because, I mean, nowadays, the folding technology's gotten good enough to where you get good use out of it before you have to replace something. But, yeah, it's just, unless you give me something very specific use case-wise, I'm probably not even going to be interested.
The main issue I have with the folding phones, now that the technology has gotten better, because I was always concerned about the hinge, and they work on the hinges every year. But if I, a good use case for a phone that folds out like that, Apple already has, they just need to update it. It's called the iPad mini.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If they, you know, and there's a lot of people I've heard, John Prosser, I think the one that Apple's actually suing over screenshots of what eventually became iOS 26. But anyway, he loves iPad minis. And he every time he would do a video where he would talk about, you know, new devices or what have you, he'd be like, Apple. And he's holding an iPad mini. He's like, what about the iPad mini? You know? And they have not updated. I said, do they still?
Yeah. I was wondering today if they still make the mini.
They do. They do.
I don't have a use for it, but if my phone was that big, I could read it.
Yeah.
But no, a friend of mine's got one of the folding Samsungs.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he unfolds it, I can see that faint line where the screen folds.
Yep.
And I don't know. That just bothers me.
Yeah. Pixel 10 fold. They did the Pixel 9 fold, I believe. They just released the Pixel 10 series, the 10, the XL, and the fold. But again, you're talking about a phone that's $2,000 easily, $1,800 to $2,000 just because it folds.
I would do a 12-inch iPad if it would fold. I'd like that. If I could just take it out, unfold it, and write on it or set it up and use it as it can be, and then just fold it up, throw it in a jacket pocket.
Yeah.
And go.
Well, see, even the minis are 8.3 inches.
It's still, I want it the size of a piece of paper.
Well, what's the old saying? Shit in one hand, wish in the other, see which one fills up faster.
Wait 5 years and science fiction will become real.
Dude, at my age now, waiting 5 years.
It flies by.
I know. I just paid for my, I had my 6 month renewal for my term life, and I'm looking at it going, yep, this term, it was a 20 year term. It ends in 2030 when I turn 60.
You'll still have it because we have a bet going on for 70. I will remember that till the day.
That's right. That is right. I did put that in my calendar, I think.
You did?
It's funny. One of my clients and a friend of mine today is headed to Kentucky. He's like, yeah, I got 6 more hours. He's going to some land surveying conference or something because that's what he does. And I made some joke about you know, going to America's asshole. And I said, no, I'm kidding. I said, I've actually got a really good friend that lives in Kentucky. So, I mean, it's all right. So, all right. Well, I figured two, if there's any gotchas, maybe by December. I know all of the tech reviewers will have already probably zeroed in on that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because I
give them a month.
Yeah. I always fight with the, do you want to get the point zero? It's like even upgrading to iOS 26. It's like, do you really want to do that? But it's like, yeah, okay. So, you know, give them a month or 2 months. And if there's some kind of weird hardware thing that they have to fix in software, some interaction, then maybe that'll be resolved. And, you know, by the 1st of December, I'm like, yeah, I can do it. So another reason why I'm going to wait.
Or if one of those fabrication machines is a couple of microns off.
Yeah.
You don't want to get a bad batch. I mean, can you imagine getting like one of the first Cybertrucks off the line?
I mean, I can't imagine getting any Cybertruck.
Oh, yes, come on.
I get your point.
But before they fix production, you don't want to commit too early.
Yeah. I mean, when the panels don't align exactly right and you're going down the road and then something falls off.
Yeah.
And for your $110,000 truck.
Lemon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no thanks.
122.
I'm sorry.
For the Founders Edition.
I'm sorry. That's still a product that is tainted by the owner. I try not to let that sway me on certain things, but that one I just can't let go of.
Okay.
But that's me.
I accept that.
And when you come driving up in an actual, yeah, I know you won't be in a Cybertruck.
Are you fucking right? I'm not.
You come driving up in a Model 3, I'm sorry, though.
I would if it was $40,000. It's worth $40,000 to me.
I think I mentioned it on the other podcast. I'm still looking forward to Bezos' other company that's making that. Forget the name of it, but it's modular.
Yeah, it looks like a tut-tut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks cool, though. I want one.
We got to find the name again so we can sort of follow the news.
I know. Let's see.
We don't have to do that right now. We're recording.
But it's my ADD kicking in. I'm sorry. I got to do this. Jeff Bezos, electric.
Mister, I don't know why anyone would want a second brain. Totally tell.
I'm going to.
Mister Lewis, fuck you.
I'm going to build an AI agent that's going to monitor the recordings and keep us on track.
It's called the Slate Truck.
Slate.
The goal is, this will go out the window. It says the primary goal is to be one of the cheapest EVs on the market with a target price under $20,000 after federal incentives. There aren't going to be any incentives. Yeah. I'm sorry. Those are out the window. So it's probably going to be closer to $30,000. But anywho, Cloudflare stops New World's largest DDoS attack over Labor Day weekend. A significant cyber security event occurred over Labor Day weekend 2025 when Cloudflare successfully thwarted what is being called the world's largest distributed denial of service attack to date. The attack peaked in an unprecedented 11.5 terabits per second, nearly 60% larger than the previous record of 7.3 terabits that Cloudflare had blocked just months earlier. The attack, which lasted approximately 35 seconds, was characterized as a hyper volumetric UDP flood attack that generated over 5.1 billion packets per second. Now I'm wondering, doesn't have anything to do with that. The UDP problem that Tyler and I are having from the West Coast to the East Coast. And I can't get a damn person at True Vista to go, yeah, you might be on to something. They look at their stuff and go, we don't see it.
No, I was green, boss.
Yeah, it's good. So the incident is part of a broader trend of increasing DDoS attacks in 2025. Cloudflare reports blocking over 6,500 hyper-volumetric DDoS attacks in Q2 alone, averaging 71 attacks per day. By July 2025, the company had already blocked 27.8 million attacks, representing 130% of all attacks blocked in the entire previous year. Wow.
5.6 billion packets a second for 35 minutes.
35 seconds.
Oh, 35 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So but that's not that many.
Well.
But my question is, who was the target?
Yeah, they didn't say.
That's funny.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't think they.
A Cloudflare customer.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to read through the last paragraph. It says Cloudflare's automated defense systems were able to detect and neutralize the threat in real time without any significant impact on customer services. The event serves as a stark reminder for businesses to implement proper DDoS protection measures with several major providers available in the market, including Akamai, Imperva, Radware, F5, Fortinet, alongside with, is it Fortinet or Fortinet? Anyway.
Fortinet.
Alongside Cloudflare. I use Cloudflare for all of my websites.
I'm starting to use it more.
And then, I told you about how you started using their tunneling stuff, right? That is so awesome. That capability is so awesome. I was like, where have you been all my life when I first discovered it?
I'm going to take one of my Friday projects and figure out a way to replace any SSL VPN that clients use with something
like that.
Yeah.
Using
Cloudflare rather than.
Yeah. Cause you can SSL create VPN. Entire networks inside that thing.
Yeah.
And connect everybody from point A to point B and back and forth. I mean, I'm using it simply like I need to push services into something I'm hosting here. And that's what I use it for primarily.
So you've used it for.
I've used it for connecting into Proxmox servers that I don't necessarily have a VPN set up to get into the client.
Yeah.
But the way I do it is they have a security section where I implement it so that when I can go to the website, go to the URL, the subdomain basically, and it'll ask me for an email address. And I specified on the back end which email addresses it will respond to. So I put in my email address, it emails me a code, then I put the code in, and then it allows me to actually get to the service that I was trying to get to. Mm. So that way, if someone happens to find it online somehow,
yeah,
they can put in their email address all day long. They can put in my email address. I'm going to get the code. Then I'm going to go, what the hell is this? You know, and they're just a great company so far. And the way they've been trying to fight against all the AI stuff as far as,
yeah,
you know, the bots scraping your content, mm-hmm. things like that. I think it's just, it's great. Hmm. All right. Brief mention, if you're an Apple TV Plus subscriber, your rates just went up by $3. Went up from $9.99 to $12.99. I remember when I first got Apple TV Plus, it was $6.99.
Jeez.
Now it's $13.
Yeah, we used to do the Apple One, and it
It
was 20, and I think when I canceled it, it was 25.
Supposedly, it did not go up. So even though Apple TV Plus itself, and it's part of the Apple One mm-hmm. stuff.
And they said the annual plans didn't change either.
Yeah, I don't think the annual. It's just the monthly, which, I mean. And look, I still get value out of it because there are shows that I watch. Slow Horses, mm-hmm. great show. Up to season 3, haven't started yet. Chief of War. If you love history, especially obscure history that you never really knew anything about, this is a show that is about historical events that happened with the Hawaiian Islands and the tribes. It is executive produced and co-written by Jason Momoa, who also stars in it.
Well, I think we were talking about that on one of the...
Yeah, we were.
Agenda Fluid.
Yep. So that's another reason why. I've loved The Morning Show. It's coming back.
Really?
Yeah.
I had read that folks aren't liking it. I haven't seen it, but...
Yeah. I've enjoyed it because it scratches that itch that I already have about...
For Jennifer Aniston?
I mean, you know, maybe. There was that one shot with her and John Hamm, and she was nude laying on top of him. So...
I mean, I've loved her since the 90s.
Yeah. I mean, I never was a Friends. I never watched Friends, but... But anyway, there's a lot of shows on there that I like. What?
Stay on track,
well,
Donovan.
Well, life would...
Taskmaster?
Life told you... so no one told you life was ever going to be this way.
Oh, God, no. No, no, no. 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 We can't have that here. But anyway, I'm going to continue to pay for it because there are still shows on there that I like. And the interface, Netflix is one of the services that does not do this. But the rest of the services, you can connect to the Apple TV Plus app. And when you go and watch shows, say like on Paramount or Peacock or whatever, when there are new shows, new episodes available, you go into the Apple TV app and at the top, it shows you the next available one. And you just click on it and it takes you out of the Apple TV app straight into the other app. Netflix has the capability of doing it. They accidentally turned it on for about 2 days and then people realized, hey, we now have... Oh, because they turned it off.
Should have been quiet.
I know, because they don't want you to be in another app to access their
content. They don't want you finding it somewhere else. Yeah.
So even though you're going into the Netflix app, they want you to be in the Netflix app.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave Netflix the middle finger, like I said a couple of months ago, and quit subscribing. And I just watched Netflix content at a friend's house. Mm. So... All right, well, that's going to be the end of our stories. But I think Sam might have something special for us in this episode.
So, various versions of South Geek have had a segment that has come back every single time that we've done this. So, it's time. I've got to bring it back like a zombie crawling from the graveyard. it is time for the weird file. Now, what the weird file is essentially me bringing something that no one else on the show knows what the heck I'm about to talk about, but it can be science, history, just weird things. We have covered things like the Great Emu War in Australia. That was a thing. You can look up the Wikipedia article if you want a good time to
did be we ever did particular. We ever have a sound bite for that for you for the weird file?
Maybe once.
We're gonna have to come up with something again. Sorry, I was just like, I need something on the smart pad for this, but go ahead. Yes,
but Ben, it is now your first weird file, so welcome aboard.
I'm just happy to be here.
So, for my first one, this actually came from personal life, and I thought, I'll make this the first weird file. Gentlemen, I have a confession to make, and it's a confession that I have never made publicly at all. It will be an exclusive to South Geek. I have a tattoo.
Whoa.
What?
The scandal has opened.
Oh my God.
Not only that, I didn't sign up for this tattoo.
What, huh?
And in fact, the person that gave me this tattoo also did not know that they were going to give it to me.
I'm on the edge of my seat now. This is such a scandal.
Because it is called, well, the best part about it is my dentist gave me this tattoo.
Oh, I'm going to have to stand up so I can pace.
Okay, wait a minute.
Normally, I mean, do you want to pause it or anything before I pull the reveal? Because this is a short walk this time. I'm not going to lie. But any thoughts?
Okay, so hold on.
Sounds
hold
like
up.
A riddle.
Okay, so it's a tattoo that Sam did not sign up for. It's a tattoo that the person who gave him the tattoo didn't intend to give him the tattoo. And it was his dentist who gave him the tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
That I have a speculation of where this tattoo has to be.
Yeah.
And I'm getting Black Panther vibes now.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep going.
It's an oral tattoo of some sort.
It is. In fact, there is a technical term for it. It is called an amalgam tattoo. So it is a very small thing. I have never found it. Visually, yeah. By the way, it is small enough to where it's something that has just completely escaped my notice. No one will probably ever see this thing unless I have someone shine a light in there and try to find it. But essentially, an amalgam tattoo. You guys have gone to the dentist probably and stuff like that. Have you noticed that dentists have started moving away from silver fillings a little bit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason. So. An amalgam tattoo is a harmless gray, blue, or black flat spot inside of your mouth. Most often, it's on your gum near a tooth that once had a silver filling. It doesn't hurt. People sometimes worry it's skin cancer in your mouth because it literally looks like it if you're not thinking about anything else. If you looked at WebMD, in other words. But it's not. It's completely benign. Essentially, tiny bits of metal from a dental filling can get pressed into a mouth's soft lining during dental work, you know, placing, polishing, removing a filling, pulling a tooth. In my case, it's most likely because whenever I first went to these dentists, I had kind of slacked off a little bit. I'm going to tell on myself and say I needed some work. So essentially, they looked at my old fillings and went, we need to replace these. So they took all my old fillings out and put new ones in, essentially. Mostly because they were mostly silver and stuff like that. And they needed to get them out.
I didn't realize that was even a process of removing. I know if a filling falls out, you can put one in. But I didn't realize that they would actually extract the old ones and put in new ones.
Yeah, if they go bad, they can drill them out again. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, and essentially that's what it was. Mine just got old. But essentially, a dentist or a doctor will usually recognize these from your history and how it looks. So sometimes an X-ray will show tiny metal particles. And if there's any doubt, they can take a small sample.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need treatment. It's harmless. it can be left in and be totally fine. We're not doing anything with mine, for instance. I love this bit of trivia about myself that I have this thing, because how common do you think this is? Just, you know, just ballpark it for me. How common do you think?
One in 25.
Yeah. I'm going to say closer to about 20 out of 25.
I can't.
Not that many people go to the dentist.
Okay. So if we want to look at, let's do percentages.
Give me percentages, because I'm not wanting to do
75% or higher.
2 to 3%.
Ben gets it closer, about 1% of people. And it's the most common cause of a single dark spot inside of your mouth.
Oh, okay. All right.
So 1% of people had this. So I love the fact that I have a weird sciencey thing inside of my mouth that is just like a weird file-esque just talking piece now, where I'm like, I've got a tattoo. Everyone goes, what?
Yeah, and I fully expect him to do the Black Panther maneuver and roll down his lower lip, and there's a tattoo in there.
Right. Says TARDIS on it.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, it's in the right side of my mouth, apparently, in these gums somewhere. And I've never found it, because I've not taken the time to shine a flashlight and go,
yeah.
But it's there, because they showed me the image and everything. And just whenever I found that out, I was absolutely delighted. I was like, excuse me, what is this? And I had to, she just says it like offhandedly, didn't really go too deep into it other than telling me what it was. And I went, I got to look into this. So sure enough, I have a tattoo that I didn't sign up for. And my dentist gave me, it's an amalgam tattoo.
I have learned something new yet again. Yeah, I actually looked it up. It says, while usually benign, an amalgam tattoo can resemble a more serious condition, melanoma. So it's important to have a dentist or a doctor examine it to rule out other issues. Well, I was today years old when I discovered and learned that there's a such thing as an amalgam tattoo. And Sam has a tattoo. It's not on his ass. It's not on his ankle. And it's not on his, anyway, it's in his mouth.
Even though, thanks to a certain pop culture reference, the ankle would probably be the most possible. But anyway.
True.
So do you have any tattoos?
The world that is you quiet did, here.
Do you have any tattoos that you did sign up for?
No, none. I have a feeling I couldn't make it through it even then. And like, the idea of having a permanent marking on me has never been appealing to me, I guess. Because otherwise, like my... People always ask me that question. They're like, well, if you did, what would you do? So I have an answer like in the chamber for whenever someone asks me for that.
And what was it? What is it?
In the book series and the Netflix series, a series of unfortunate events, the secret organization in that series has an ankle tattoo.
Mm.
So
that's right.
I would probably get the ankle tattoo to be a member of the VFD for that. So
I'm also curious, are redheads, do they have any issues because of the lighter skin tone with tattoos versus anybody else?
I've not heard of anything in the weird file about that, Sam.
I've got nothing for that one.
nothing no, in the chamber.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I've seen redheaded people
with tattoos.
Pale skin with tattoos. I don't think it's a thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they use the power of 1,000 suns to put the tattoo on them. I mean, they do.
They have that power.
Yeah, they have.
They
that
just
power.
Don't use it.
Yeah,
for
they
that.
Just don't use it. Yeah, use it for good, not for evil. All right. Well, now we know Sam has a tattoo that nobody can see, not even him.
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess that's going to wrap up the show then. We got our first official weird file with this podcast, which is now over a year old, believe it or not. Ooh. We managed to make
it
a year.
Yeah, it was about last September when we started.
Yep. It's, let's see, I'm going to look it up because I am curious. Let's see, I got to load more. Good grief. Load more. Yeah. September 12th, 2024. First episode that we did actually had Me, You, and Tyler.
That's right.
The title of that one was The AGI is Stinky. So, yeah. And I think that one went for probably, let's see, how long is that one? It went for 2 hours and 2 minutes. So,
and Tyler was here.
Tyler was here. Yeah. Yeah. That's enough said. And he'll even say that. Because he'll ask me, he's like, I noticed there was a lot of AI articles in this. Was it because I was here? I'm like, maybe.
Well, it was, you know, it was hot.
Yeah. Yeah, it was hot. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up. We'll try to not go another month. It's just honestly the tech news. Now, we are in what they call tech timber.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of things. Matter of fact, Meta had a thing today. And so they're supposed to be introducing, I think, new glasses or something like that. But I don't ever pay attention to Meta's things. I don't really pay attention to Google's things. And I do make it a point. Like, I sat down and watched the Apple event 2 weeks ago because I am curious about the kind of stuff that they are producing. I used to be like a kid in a candy store every time they would have an event back when they were live. But I actually like the polished ones they do now better. Mm. Just they're tighter, you know.
I can't say I've ever watched one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I sit down because, you know, being on an Apple TV, you just go into the Apple TV app and it's like prominently right there. You just sit down and, you know, 1 o'clock. No.
Well, everyone does the polished things now. Like, I am so happy that Nintendo moved to those. It's so much better. Like, less time and everything. Like, mwah.
Yeah. That's, yeah, I mean, it's
nobody
like,
got time for that. Just tell me what we got to do.
Yeah, exactly. It's like this show, once it's produced, it's tightened up and shorter.
Yeah. Easier to consume. Yeah.
Yep.
So, all right, Sam, as I normally do. You know, give your shout outs. I'll get it right in a minute to where everybody can find you and your stuff. And of course, I'll try to remember to put a link in the show notes for that episode of that thing that you worked on.
Yep. Twitter/X, don't care, have that argument on your own. Instagram, TikTok, and Twitch, all at TSCN Sam. And if you want to find all my content, head on over to TSCN.tv.
Why are you not on Blue Sky yet?
Because I have to set up a Blue Sky.
Well, I just don't want to remember another fucking password.
That's what I have a password manager for.
It's one more thing for me to run. Plus, I don't know if they have the functions that I actually want. And I have other reasons that I will not say on a tech podcast because it will get me in trouble. So we can talk offline.
Oh, okay. Just say that for next week.
I don't know. I'm on Blue Sky. I like it. It's a much better environment than Twitter.
Are you more informed?
Yeah, actually I am.
I still have a compelling reason to go look.
Yeah, I know.
I don't have anything to say. I don't have anything to say on Twitter.
I don't say anything on Twitter. I do go there and check it occasionally. But my primary social media consumption is Blue Sky and Instagram/Threads. Mm. And then I will maybe twice a week now check Twitter because I want to see what the cesspool is about, what they're railing
against.
Your
feed's just wrong. I mean, I don't get that garbage in my feed.
Yeah, well, the whole place
it's
is garbage.
It's almost like
though.
An algorithm knows what ticks you off and delivers it to you. That way, that can continue to go. But anyway, Tom Merritt said something really insightful on Daily Tech News Show this morning that I'm going to say on here. And okay. Sorry that I'm shooting you right in the chest, Donovan. But essentially, it goes your algorithm, kind of your fault.
Well, the funny thing though is I don't follow any right-wing people on there, but I don't know. It's just
I used to see you know, clips of campaigns, mm-hmm. and whatnot, and of course the clips from Charlie Kirk's ventures. I don't see that anymore. It's all AI. machine learning, algorithms, robotics, yeah, manufacturing,
yeah,
computer science. It's almost purely that.
Mm-hmm. And algorithms, I think, at some point, like they try. Anytime I go somewhere new, the algorithm will go, "Ooh, this is how we work. We'll yeah, piss him off and we'll do all that." And then it realizes, oh, it doesn't work with him. Okay, fine, F it. Well, just give him what he wants. That's essentially what happens in every social media thing that has an algorithm that I go to, is they just give up. It's amazing.
My biggest complaint about Twitter is, years ago, if you wanted real-time, up-to-date information of what was happening right then and there, big events, it was a good place. It was the best place to go. It's no longer that, and hasn't been that for several years. I'm not saying that it's Elon's fault, because I think it was already getting to that point where it wasn't considered that even before he bought it. But he didn't help it. He's only made it worse. So, and yes, I have a bug up my ass when it comes to Elon Musk. I do not like the guy. I feel betrayed when it comes to him.
In what way?
Well, because I unfortunately...
We're going to save this for the extras.
I unfortunately bought into, a decade ago, him being the Tony Stark of our generation.
Yeah, but it's still kind of the thing.
No.
Well, I mean, if anybody was going to be, it's him.
Yeah, except he's not that smart. That's the thing. He is an intelligent individual, but he is nowhere near a level of a Tony Stark level type individual. He's not a genius. But he seemed back then, he seemed more like helpful. Like he wanted to better mankind and all this other kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he started getting into the politics, that's when he changed. And then basically everybody discovered, no, this guy's just an asshole, you know? And he didn't create Tesla, as we've talked about.
Well, that's never been.
But everybody looks at him like,
he made it what it is today.
It would have been just as good without him. He didn't create it. And he pushed the people out that were the actual founders. So anyway, that's the reason why I think he's a despicable human being. He's in my camp of human beings that I think are despicable.
Really? You'd put him in the same box with Ann Coulter?
Ann Coulter, Donald Trump, all of them.
Hmm.
Yep, I would. So anyway, that ends the South Geek political section of the episode.
So, didn't have to get political, man.
Yeah, well, I didn't. Hmm. I was just saying, I was talking about Twitter.
Also, Tony Stark is a fictional character.
Yes, but Robert Downey Jr. Is not.
And he was quite an a-hole
before he
was in the desert. So he could still be the Tony Stark, and both of you could be right. Just saying.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Well, the thing is Elon Musk did the reverse. He started out as the good Tony Stark, and he became the asshole-ish Tony Stark.
I think he's returning.
We'll see. I'll reserve judgment.
I doubt it.
I hold grudges, damn it.
He really does.
All right, everybody. We'll see you later. Maybe in 2 weeks. Hopefully there'll be enough stuff to talk about.
Or we'll make something up.
We'll bring in some We'll bring in some AI co-hosts and see what they can do.
I have wanted to do that.
That would be interesting.
Like a real-time fact checker.
If you could do it in real time. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Hey, give it a name and hey, so-and-so. What, when did that movie come out? Or whenever.
Yeah.
Like a real-time fact checker.
We could try it. We could
figure out how to connect the tiny computer into one of the audio inputs.
As long as it's got Bluetooth, because that's how this is actually connected up, is via Bluetooth. So the idea is so that I can use it as, I can use it for call-ins. Okay. Because it can manage there's a company out there called Call-In Studio.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can do all of that. You get a telephone number. People can call in, sit in the queue. I've used it. It's great. I can play audio off of this and it goes in. Forget which input I've got. Oh, the one that says BT, Bluetooth. Imagine that. Anyway. All right, everybody.
Make that happen.
We'll see you later. Bye. This has been a production of Tifton Media Works. Check out all our podcasts by visiting TiftonMediaWorks.com.